into your eyes makes my heart come alive. Suddenly brought to life when I met you. Reaching beyond the skies, running deep, stretching wide. Perfect love realized here with you. Now the sharp is for real, you will never let go, never let go. Oh, it's more than just words, love beyond my control, out of control.
What's up?
This is real love, this is real love. See, this is real love, this is real love.
Leave behind your regrets and as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Another week of Camp South Grove. We're going to have so much fun today. We've got so many awesome things planned. You know, a verse. We've got our worship. I mean, there's just so many things planned.
And s'mores? I love s'mores. Can we have s'mores?
You know, s'mores wasn't really part of the plan today. Today, we're talking about how God is love.
Oh, okay. Well, can I ask you a question then?
Well, I guess so. Sure.
How big is God's love?
Oh, God's love. It's like so big. It's like eternal. It goes on forever. Like he just loves us so much.
Okay, could you say like it's so big that he never leaves us wanting s'more?
You're just thinking about s'mores today, aren't you? Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that. Yes, his love. It's so good. Now, we do have a memory verse coming up. You know, that's part of our plan, but before we get there, can I ask you a question this time?
Sure.
Have you ever been a part of a team? And if you have, what was your role on that team?
Yeah, I played soccer and I was the midfielder.
Midfielder. So what do those people do?
You run back and forth and try and cross the ball over to the middle to score.
Did you like that role?
I loved it. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, yeah. Thanks for answering my question.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, should we get to our memory verse?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
May the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3.
Hi, Quest and D-Land. Today, we're going to be talking about the big God story where the Apostle Paul is writing his letter to the church in Corinth. But first, I have been writing a song about love. I will not sing it for you. I can't do that. But I'm stuck just a little bit. I want my song to describe what love is. But I can't quite find the words, and I may need your help at some point with this song. Right now, though, there's one other place that we can look to figure out about love, and that's the Bible. I know that God is love, so his word will be full of descriptions of that love. And before we look at that, let's pause and invite him to teach us something today. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and praise you that you are love. You've given us hearts of love and the ability to love others around us, our friends, our family, and those we go to school with, or those we just see going out through our day. Please be with us and let your Holy Spirit guide us to continue to show love to those around us each and every day. Amen. Now, over the last few weeks, it is my understanding that you've been going through some of Paul's letters. The Apostle Paul, in the New Testament, has written to the church in Galatia, Philippi, and Thessalonica. If you have a map, go find those places. It'll be a good geography lesson for you. Today, we're going to talk about another city that Paul traveled to when he spread the good news of Jesus, and that place is called Corinth. If you were to look at a map today, Corinth is located between Iona, the Ionian Sea, and the Aegean Sea, which means a lot of people came here to make money because they were buying and selling goods, trading, on ships, all that kind of fun stuff. 2 or 3 years after Paul started his church in Corinth, he heard that the church was having some trouble living as God called them to live. See, Paul wrote this letter to encourage those in the church to be set apart, to live a new way, full of love. The Christians in Corinth were fighting and forming little groups that argued together and weren't really being the best Christians that they could be. This was not only tearing the church apart, but it was also keeping the gospel from being spread throughout the land. So God's Spirit prompted Paul to write them a letter, reminding them that God is love, and only by His Spirit can we work together as a whole body to glorify God and to love others the way that God loves us. Let's open up and turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians, for those who don't know, is found between the book of Romans and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is the first one, not the second one. I've gotten them mixed up. Don't worry. Are you there? Good, let's jump right in. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Guys, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, probably not the last one. We are all different. God, in His love, created each of us with special talents and special abilities. Me? I can cook. My friend Kayla, she can sing. Bree can dance. And I have a bunch of other friends who can do other things a lot better than I can. And I can do some things that they can't do either. Some of us have musical talents that help us worship. Some of us enjoy teaching others what we learn about God. And some of us are moved to pray for healing when we hear that someone is feeling sick. There are some other gifts out there that God's given us. And because God is love, we're created to love each other, trust each other, appreciate each other, and live together with peace and joy. The only way we can live together in this way is through the power of the Holy Spirit that God gave us. God also gave Paul a great image to help the Corinthians. Let's jump down a little bit and read 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Christ is the head of the church, and we are all members of one church, or one body. Think about it this way. Many of you, maybe just some of you, are watching the Olympics right now. I am, and so far I've really enjoyed it. But if you were to be watching the Olympics, standing in the crowd, you would be one person. And there would be a bunch of other people, hopefully all rooting for the same team or the same country. That is one example that we have of being one part of a larger body. You are one person cheering for one team, but you're all doing it together. This also can happen at musical concerts, festivals, the beach, maybe your favorite movie. Most of the time you're in a crowd of people, you are there, and so is everyone else, shouting, cheering together. That's kind of what it's like being one body as the church. We're all here to praise God, worship, and celebrate the good that He's done for us. Now, let's focus back on the church in Corinth and Paul's comparison to the body. What would happen, like the Corinthian church, if the parts of your body started to fight each other? Now, I don't mean you take your hand and bop yourself in the forehead, or you like take your other hand, you tap yourself in the knee and your leg kicks out, so you stub your toe. That's not what I'm talking about. All right. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Mm-mm. Let's say the different parts of your body don't like where they are on your body, and they decide to switch places. Maybe your head is where your hand is, used to be, and your elbow is where your foot used to be. I'm telling you right now, that make it really difficult to stand, to walk, to run, and to praise God the way that we love to nowadays. Like our human bodies, God's plan, God has a plan for us and places for us just where we need to be. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of us, one of them, as he has chosen. Because God is love, he planned for his body, the church, to show his love to others. And each person serves with the gifts that God's given him. But Paul warns that all our actions, all of our talents, and all our special abilities are useless unless we have God's love. Let's go to the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am as noisy as a gong or a clanging cymbal. That doesn't sound too great, especially when you're sleepy, you're just waking up, and your little sister or your niece or nephew decides to come in and start banging pots and pans together. No. I want to wake up to smooth jazz, nice saxophone music, or something, you know, that the worship team is playing on Sunday that just makes my week a whole lot better. All right, that sounds good to me. So sometimes instead of a beautiful sound, it's like crazy, madness, all over the place. And if you take that away, replace it with good music, it's like working with God's love. It sounds good, brings us joy, makes us want to jump up and down, clap our hands, puts a big smile on all of our faces. That sounds nice to me. To understand how God wants us to love, we can look at who God is and how he loves us. Continue down just a little bit in 1 Corinthians 13:4. The word love is mentioned almost 10 times in this chapter. So take your finger, if you're looking at your Bible or maybe, you know, an app on your screen, put your finger on the word love and close your eyes as I read these verses about God's love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast, nor is it arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but will rejoice with the truth. And love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. God's love is amazing. Now open your eyes and let's read this passage again together. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, or it is irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. God is love. I know I've said that a lot, and I'll continue to say it over and over and over again. God is love. And it says in verse 8 that love never fails. Do this with me. Just a small exercise. Just like Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth, I want each of us to write ourselves a letter. So if you have a piece of paper in front of you and a pen, if not, get one later. But simply just get a piece of paper and write on it, God is love. That's it. If you have this piece of paper with you, keep it close, put it somewhere you'll see it every day, maybe stick in your Bible right here at 1 Corinthians 13, and just keep it there. This way you can have a reminder that God is love. It's really all about love, guys. We are meant to love each other. We are meant to take care of each other because we are formed in the same body, the body of Christ. We can't love each other perfectly in our own. And God shows us that he is love, but the only way that we can love like he does and be modeled to that love for others is through the power of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit bonds together the members of the body of Christ so that we can love God as he loves us. Do you hear the verse about God's love and wonder how you could love like that? I do. When I was your age, I didn't understand God's love, and I didn't really know what it meant. But as I continued to seek after it and go for it, I knew and continue to know that God is love and we are to love like Christ. Again, with God's love, we experience patience, joy. We're always protected. We can trust. We can have hope. And we can learn to never give up because that love never fails. In our struggle to love as he does, we lose patience sometimes. We get jealous. Sometimes we can put ourselves first. But the encouraging thing is that we have the Holy Spirit to help us love like God loves. During our response time, I encourage you to pray about two things. First, ask God if there is someone you know who needs to experience God's love and pray for them. Pray that they will know how much God cares about them and pray for God to show them something special that will remind them of his love. Second, pray and ask God to help you love like he does, to help you be patient and joyful and never failing. Like we learned a few weeks ago, we don't have to do all this by ourselves. We can ask the Holy Spirit to help us grow and change so we can all do it together.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow tries to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. Stand a chance when I
Before we close today, I want to read a verse that reminds me of the story we learned about. It says in 1 John 4, verses 7 through 8, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Wow, that's good. Okay, let's put our hands out like this and I'll say the blessing. May you know God's amazing, huge love, and may his love influence you to love others the way he does. Amen.